Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we live in a country where we can worship you freely. Please help us to use that gift, that freedom, to serve the wider world, to serve our community, and to help others come to know and love the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. I dread this first statement that I wrote a few days ago. Believe it or not, it's not long till Christmas. Now, that thought should fill our hearts with joy, but it may also fill you with horror, depending on what Christmas is like for you. And the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas are known in the church as Advent. It's meant as a time of preparation. This year, I thought we would approach Advent and Christmas differently. We're going to join in something which you've already heard called The Advent Conspiracy. Sounds like a Robert Ludlum novel, doesn't it? But it's in fact something that was begun some years ago, about 2006, by some pastors in America, with the aim of helping Christians recapture the essence of Christmas. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Christmas is this wonderful story of God coming into the world as a baby. The eternal becomes human. Theologians call it the incarnation. It's a story that should engender in us feelings of joy and happiness and love. But many of us spend Advent, those 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, stressed because we lose this story. Christmas has become for us not so much a story about God as a story about consumption and about meeting other people's expectations. And it often leaves us feeling exhausted or empty. On the ABC radio yesterday morning, I was listening to the finance program, which was talking about credit cards, and the lady who was the guest speaker said that they've done some research on people's Christmas habits and have discovered that in Australia, 45% of people leave their Christmas shopping to the very last minute. That means there's a lot of stress in those last 5 or 6 days. The Advent Conspiracy is an attempt to refocus us and help us keep Jesus at the centre of what we're doing over those 4 weeks and on Christmas. And it has four themes which flow out of the incarnation. The four themes are as follows: worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. Where this idea came from was a meeting I had with my colleague pastors in Blackburn North. You'll know that we're good friends with the One Community Church and New Hope Baptist Church. And David Ratton, the senior minister at One Community Church, mentioned this series to me. And he and Alan DeMond, the senior minister at New Hope, have agreed that we'll be using this resource, albeit slightly differently in each of the three churches. And one of the weeks during Advent, the three of us swap churches, and David himself will be preaching here, and I'll be preaching at New Hope. Now, I'll say a few things on the first theme today, and then I want to show you a short clip from the Advent Conspiracy DVD. The other three themes will not come up in our preaching series until Advent. Those of you who know the church calendar will realise this is not Advent yet. But I'm beginning today a little bit earlier because I wanted you to know what this was about and to give you time just to reflect and to start thinking creatively about how you might respond. So today's theme is called Worship Fully. What do we worship during Advent and Christmas? Now, if we were in Sunday school and we asked the children that, they'd put up their hands and they would say, Jesus, wouldn't they? That's the right answer. But is it an honest and an accurate answer? Just think of what your diary looks like during Advent. Think about what happens to your cash balance in your bank accounts and what happens to your credit cards. Jesus might be the reason for the season, but often Jesus gets forgotten, camouflaged, crowded out of our lives during that busy period. I know deep in my heart, and particularly because I'm a pastor in a church, I actually really want Advent to be about Jesus. I want to have time to stop and reflect on who Jesus is. But I often struggle to know how to connect my worship of Jesus with the reality of what is going on around me as all of this busyness just ramps up towards that important day near the end of December. Now, you would think Advent and Christmas would be a great time to worship Jesus. The Christmas carols are being played in every shopping centre you can imagine. There are so many possible Christmas carol singing events you can go to. Christmas is a time when Jesus sometimes gets a look in the public world. But often it can be really hard to worship Jesus because we are swamped, we are overwhelmed by the consumer culture that surrounds this time of year. Now, I wonder this year if we can enter into the story more fully, more imaginatively, more creatively. When you read the early chapters of Luke and Matthew in which the Advent story or stories are told, one thing stands out, that nearly everybody who meets the infant king responds with worship. Take Mary, for example, who we've just read about this morning. She's a normal teenage girl going about her life when she is completely changed and her life direction is completely refocused by this meeting with Gabriel and this surprise pregnancy. And yet her response is one of worship and joy and praise. So she begins her song, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Notice the word Saviour. She recognises that the birth of Jesus is about salvation. She recognises that God has sent a Saviour for her, for the nation of Israel, for the hungry, for the humble, indeed for anyone in every generation who will worship God. You see that in verse 50. Mary praises God because she knows God is doing something magnificent, something worth magnifying his name for. Something wonderful is happening. But notice, although it is a song of praise and worship, it's also a declaration. It's a declaration about what God is going to do. It's a declaration that a new world is coming into being, where a world where the rich and powerful are brought down and the humble are lifted up and the hungry fed, verses 51 to 53. Now, I think as Christians, we are comfortable, so to speak, with the story of salvation. We know that the manger leads to the cross and leads inevitably to the birth of the early church and leads to us. We understand that story. But what about the social aspect that Mary mentions here that surrounds the birth of Jesus? What about her comment about the humble being lifted up, the hungry being fed? Is that not also part of the Advent story? I think we sort of lose that at times. How might this translate into our Advent this year? Imagine if this year we try to find ways of connecting our worship of Jesus with making a difference for those in need, for the humble and hungry of our day. What if our worship of Jesus led us to celebrate Christmas in quite new ways, less self-focused, more outward-looking? What if we refused to bow to the cultural pressures of Christmas and instead tried to find practical ways of expressing God's love to those in need? Now, some of you are probably doing this, but I think it's a hard thing to do, to resist all the sort of pressures that come on you and come on me from our families, our communities, and all the wider world. What if, as part of our worship, we said, let's give differently this year? Let's give our time, our money, our love, our care in different ways as an act of worship because God has come among us, because we think this is such a wonderful story. Now, you might be sitting there wondering just where exactly does this all go and what does this all mean? The Advent Conspiracy started with three pastors. They've put together some resources. They just started this as a little idea. They never thought that it would go as far as it's gone. And I've looked at their DVD where they explain each of these themes, and I can't do much better than one of the pastors who explains this bit of it on worship fully. So what I want to show you is a clip of one of the pastors. He looks a little bit differently to me, and he'll sound a bit differently to me. Don't let that worry you, and there'll be a few cultural things that are more North American than here. That's okay. And then at the end of that, I'll come back and just wrap it up and tell you a few other short things. So if we can watch that. This goes for about 10 minutes, so just listen. You'll hear a little bit about the story of Christmas and a few ideas about what it means practically speaking. Now, I hope that makes sense, and I hope it starts to stir in you something. I mean, I've watched that a few times now, and every time I hear Rick speak, I feel like going, yeah, that's right, I want to be part of that. What he's not saying is, here's a new program. Here, sign up to do this, that, or the other. I hope you heard him clearly say, we don't want you just thinking you've got to go to church more or sing more songs or anything like that. What he's trying to do there is, I think, is to say to you, just step back a little bit before all the madness starts and wonder and pray and reflect on God coming to earth and ask yourself, how might I reflect that back into the world this Christmas, and allow your imagination and your creativity to suggest things. And you might find today you're a bit lost in this, you're not quite sure what all this means. So I'm going to make a couple of practical suggestions, but over the further 3 weeks of Advent, we'll make some more suggestions, and hopefully it'll start to come a little bit clearer for you. But please don't think what we're trying to do is start another program and make things busier for you. It's completely the opposite. What we're trying to do is just say, what might God do in and amongst you and your family, in and amongst us as church? So let me just give you a couple of possible practical suggestions, just because I know sometimes these things need to be earthed. How might we all express our worship of God in how we spend our money, use our time, and show people we care? How might we do it differently? Now, you'll find all of these, I think, in contact in a little box called Advent Conspiracy Ideas, is it? What's it called, that little box? Yeah, Advent Conspiracy Ideas. Now, one of the practical suggestions that the Advent Conspiracy guys came up with was to do with water. And you'll see if you look at their website and follow any of their resources, it's about water. We thought rather than do that, we would give light. The reason is we have a family who we're going to talk to via Skype after this service who are involved in trying to make small solar lights available in Tanzania. So Andrew Jones and his family have been sent out from St. Alfred's. They're working in Tanzania. And Andrew has written to me after I asked him, would this be practical? Would it help his ministry over there? And he said yes, that $20 would buy a small desk lamp, a solar panel, and a telephone recharging kit. And that can make a huge difference for the family who have that, but it can also be a source of light and power for other people in the nearby village. So that's one possible practical solution, and we're hoping over the next week or two to get little gift cards that are made so that if you decide, yes, I'd like to do that, then you can have a gift card to give to somebody and say that as a sign of your affection for them, you're not giving them a present, you're supporting this light project in Tanzania. The gift card type of idea is being used by many Christian organisations. Over many years here at St Alfred's, we've supported TIER, and you'll find those catalogues in the foyer today, and there's a team that will be starting to make that more practical over the next couple of weeks. They'll be taking money and giving you the gift cards. There are also other Christian organisations that will make their catalogues available as well. The other thing you'll find today is Rachel Williams will be selling Christmas cards, and they help support the ladies in the Kibera slum in Nairobi. Please don't be limited by any of these suggestions. This is like just dropping a stone in a pond. We're wanting to see where it might go. There could be all sorts of interesting and creative and practical things that you might come up with as God directs. We'd love to hear back what sort of things that you come up with. And Ian Lober, who is now our IT manager, had this suggestion for me yesterday. He said that you could maybe use this thing called Facebook to do feedback. So if you want to do that, feed it back to Mike McNamara, because Mike is now on Facebook. And he will contact you to let you know how to contact him. Or use the office email, which you'll see there. So do feel free to be creative and let us know, because then over the weeks of Advent, we'll start telling some of those stories back to you that others have come up with to help keep you feeling the possibilities are still out there, that maybe you could do X or Y, and that will encourage everyone. So let me pray with that and leave you then to reflect on that. And do please come up and ask me if I haven't made any of this clear. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again that you sent your one and only Son into our world, this world of madness and craziness, this world that is so desperate to know who you are and to be directed by your Spirit. We thank you yet again, Lord, that you haven't left us in darkness, haven't left us alone. And so, Lord, as we enter into these last few months of this year and as all the Christmas activities begin, please help us as your people to reflect your love and your compassion for this world that you so dearly love. Please help us to be good witnesses. Help us to announce the story in ways that make sense and touch people's hearts and fill our hearts with joy and love. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.